Welcome to the Ignited Recovery Podcast, a new way forward for anyone looking for answers but feeling left out. If you've been searching for empowerment, triumph, and purpose, you've found them right here. You won't hear the same solutions, and you're not going to have any excuses to fall back on, because Ignited Recovery allows heroes to rise and become their best selves. I'm Dr. Adi Jaffe, and I can't wait to be your guide on this journey. Are you ready to become an Ignited Hero?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Ignited Recovery Secrets Podcast. I'm Adi Jaffe, so happy to be here with you today. And I was just writing an email about this to our list, which if you ever want to be included on these emails that I write weekly that are full of inspiration and exercises and things like that, all you got to do is go to ignitedrecovery.com and give your email over there. And then you also get to watch this free hour workshop that I gave, or you can go to ignited.com and get on the list there. Either way, we'll get you into this thing. And actually, ironically, this week, you won't get, it came out after this. So you won't get this email anyway. I will not be giving anything away that you would have gotten otherwise. But what I decided to do for the people on our list today is kind of let them see behind the clothes kind of curtain, right? Let them see how the sausage is actually made. What do I mean by that? A lot of you who got to know me, got to know Ignited, got to see us through the podcast or maybe an ad, or maybe you read an article, you saw me on Dr. Oz or The Doctors, whatever it is, you read the book, somehow you learn about what it is that we do. And a lot, the vast majority of what I talk about, what we talk about here, is the recovery, are the tools, introducing you to stories, all that kind of stuff. And that is all amazing and great. But the other week, I was sitting around in my car. I had a long drive, and I was listening to a podcast. And the podcast was actually called The Startup Podcast, and it's ended since. But it was talking about a company and showing you the behind-the-scenes elements of what it actually takes to run this company, how they create it, how they make it more successful and drive it forward. And it made me realize that I preach and talk about radical transparency all the time, and I do it when it comes to my recovery. But if I'm honest about it, my recovery is pretty freaking solid, right? Like, some people don't believe me when I say this. Some people think I'm lying. Some people think I was never a quote-unquote addict, you know, which I hate that term. But I don't wonder if I'm going to fall back into addiction. Not even a part of my reality. And I know for a fact that there are hundreds of people who have gone through Ignited, have read the book or done the program, and feel exactly the same. So for me, there's not a question in can I be radically transparent about my recovery, because that's easy. I'm good. Used to be addicted to meth. I was smoking meth all day, every day for 5 years, was down to 124 pounds. I am solid. I drink socially, as you know, because of my stories with Sophie, my wife. We've done MDMA. We still do it a handful of times a year. Really, really good. Struggled with sex addiction a decade ago. Got that handled really well now. But obviously, and I want to be clear about this, there are still areas of life where I struggle. And radical transparency is not about being honest with you when you ask me the questions that you know how to ask. It's about telling you the truth even when you don't know what to ask about. And for me, actually, my main point of struggling in life is around money and business. And it comes from the fact that I grew up definitely with this idea that I wanted to kind of, you know, chase the Joneses, right? Like, how am I comparing to everybody else's? What car am I driving? What house do I live in? How much money do I have? And that's driven a lot of the self-esteem issues that I struggle with early in life. And, you know, when I was selling drugs, was kind of solved by the fact that I got a lot of attention because I had drugs and I had money. But later in this second phase of my life has been an ongoing struggle. And, you know, I run Ignited. Sophie and I were doing the podcast for a long time. She's kind of taking a little break from recording, but we'll be back with her in a bit too. But running Ignited is a lot. It's a lot of work. We've got the podcast, actually 2 to 3 episodes a week. I have the online program. We developed a brand new software solution for people online. We wrote the book, right? We've got all these emails that go out to people. Like, there's a lot of stuff that it takes to run Ignited. And I have massive help from our team. And Maddie is my right-hand person, and couldn't do any of this without her. But what I wanted to get transparent about today is let you see how the sausage is made. And the reason is simple. I am deeply committed and filled with purpose and dedication to what I'm doing. But if I'm honest about it, something about 20 to 30% of my week is focused on actually doing the work that I love doing, the stuff that I got into this for. And the other 70, 75% is spent building the systems, learning the things, reading the books, listening to podcasts, having the conversations that allow the other 25% to happen. And the reason I want to get really transparent about that is sometimes it's a grind. And sometimes I don't really feel like doing it in the morning. And sometimes it's really hard and I don't know if it's going to work out. Sometimes it makes me think like maybe this is just too much and I shouldn't be doing it at all anymore. And I want to get honest about that with you for a couple of reasons. And the first is, my guess is a lot of you have gone through the same thing or are going through the same thing right now, where it feels like on some level you're moving in the right direction, but in other ways you kind of feel like maybe this isn't for you. And tenacity and motivation and dedication and resiliency are all very, very important concepts. And I want to talk about how I see and the people around me see the best way to make the decision about whether you're moving in the right direction or not. So let's start with a simple initial piece of it, right? I got my PhD at UCLA. I was supposed to move forward and just become a professor at some university and teach really for the rest of my life and get government grants and do research and all that kind of stuff. And I was on that track. I did kind of what's called job talks, which is when you interview at big universities. And just getting one of those interviews is a big deal. Out of all the candidates for any job, they really only ever invite 3 people. So you're already top 3, but I wasn't getting the jobs and I got really, really frustrated. I did 3 or maybe 4 of those job talks, didn't get the job, and I'm not used to failing. And that really hurt, or at least in this phase of my life, I'm not used to failing. So after 4 of them, I kind of said, well, maybe this isn't for me and I need to do something else. And that's when leaving academia behind and starting to be an entrepreneur became a possibility for me in a real, real way. As a little caveat, I talked to one of my favorite advisors about 6 months to a year later, and he said, you know, on average, people go on 10 of those job interviews before they get a job. So I quit too early is the bottom line, and that's part of what we're going to get to here a little bit later. Now, when I left and started a rehab, I knew nothing about running a business. I loved what I was doing. I was committed to what I needed to do, but I knew nothing about running a business. But what we were doing at Alternative Behavioral Health, me and my partner, Mark Curran, at the time, was so revolutionary, so amazing that it actually started working and bringing in some money, enough at least for us to pay ourselves. But I want to be clear. In the 9 years that I've been an entrepreneur running my own businesses, I've made less money in any one of those years than I ever had working a job. And the reason I want, again, right, transparency, I want to be clear about that. People think sometimes and look at what our life looks like and they think how glamorous it is and how amazing it is and how we must be kind of like swimming in money. And on that front, we struggle more than maybe a lot of people realize. I'm not the person who makes the most money in this family, and I was for the first maybe 10, 11 years, but Sophie has absolutely taken over that and has allowed us to live the life that we want to live now, which has allowed me to pursue my passion. Now, that's not the easiest thing to say. And for some of you out there, you may be struggling financially right now and having a really hard time admitting it. And so part of, again, right, the practice is to be transparent and say, it's been 9 years I've been an entrepreneur. I make less money on any given one of those years myself than I did sometimes while being a graduate student. Okay, so that's piece number one. Piece number two is that other thing that I just mentioned, which is admitting when you go to do something brand new, you don't know how to do it. You just don't. You don't have the skills. I was really good at being a student, not really great at being a business person. I don't come from a business-oriented family. Nobody in my family is an entrepreneur. My mom actually had this line from her dad growing up, and he did run his own factory, and he said, never run your own business. Always work for somebody else. It's a million times easier. She followed his advice. I obviously decided not to. And so when you start something new, like when I started running Alternatives as a business, you have to learn from scratch. And for some of us, me included for sure, asking for help, relying on other people to help you with things that you don't know how to do feels like a weakness. It feels like you're admitting that you're not good enough. It feels like maybe you can't show that to others because then they will know that you're just pretending, right? That whole imposter syndrome. I want to give you this little tip. It's taken me 5-6 years of initial entrepreneurship to learn this, and I wish somebody would have made me realize this earlier. People probably said it to me, but I didn't hear it. I want to pause here and I want to explain this to you. Almost nobody on earth does anything amazing on their own. Everybody gets help, from football players to their coaches, and they've had coaches since they were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. Entrepreneurs get help, coaching and advice from people who have been there before, left and right. I have my own business coach now. I wouldn't be able to do this without him. All the way to creatives who get together and sit and write together, write songs, write music, write prose, direct movies together, and get together and do the art together. That is a very, very big part of the equation. It's a lie that you have to figure out how to do this on your own. And so I didn't know this in the first business and made a ton of mistakes until I was starting to figure it out towards the end, but the business already fell apart. Lesson number three here is things may fall apart in front of you. That business collapsed. My partner got really, really sick. Another partner was incredibly dissatisfied and ended up actually suing us, fell apart, leaving me with a bunch of debt. Still committed to the mission, still deciding I wanted to do what was important to me and help save lives in addiction. And I had to dust myself off and get back up. And I've talked about this before, so this isn't new. But again, I need you to take this in deeply. The path to success is not devoid of failure ever. Failure is literally just an opportunity when something happened, something occurred that was not the expected outcome, and you have a couple of options. You can give up after that, or you can move forward in a deliberate way that takes into account what you learn from that. So for instance, what I learned from alternatives is I don't know how to manage people and run a business, and I had to go all in on that. I also learned that I don't know how to market or sell a business. In academia, you don't have to do this, right? You're a professor. You walk into a class and the university fills it up with students. I didn't have to get the students. Well, that doesn't happen when you go out into the real world. If I want to sell sunglasses, it doesn't matter if I make really, really great sunglasses. Nobody's going to buy them unless I tell them that I have sunglasses and they know somebody else who tried them and loved them, and then word of mouth will expand, or they saw an ad or something like that. I had to learn that entire world. I had to learn programming. I don't care about programming. I had to learn all these different things. Why? That's the 75 to 80% of my life where I do things in order to be able to do what I truly care about and carry out my mission. Now, that gets me to where we are right now. And that is, in the last now 9 years, having been an entrepreneur, I've helped thousands of people. If you count how many people have read the book, tens of thousands of people. I say this to Sophie all the time. By the time I leave, I want to know that I've left about 1 million people living a better life because of, you know, them being exposed to what I've done and the work that I've done. And so I'm not near that. But holy shit, as a guy who spent a year in jail facing like 15 to 18 years in prison, ex-meth addict, ex-convict, almost college dropout, to get to this place where I've affected tens of thousands of lives is humbling. It's humbling. And what I realized a while ago was that I must care a lot more about the mission than about the money. And I had to drop the money equation from my head to some extent and just say, look, I obviously don't care that much about the money, right? I left my job that would have paid me much more for this life that has paid me half the salary on an annual basis. But I love what I do. I want you all to line up your values with what you do on a daily basis, right? And not lie to yourself, right? Just because it seems like you should want the money in your bank account and the fat watch and the car or whatever it is that you've been told you need to want in life. If you're not getting it, Bruce Lipton says this so well in The Biology of Belief and in some of the sessions that we've recorded with him here. Your life is a printout of your beliefs and values. Take stock. If you're not getting money and money never really, really shows up, there's a block somewhere. You either don't care about it and you don't really want it, or you don't believe that you should have it. And either way, that's something that you either get to work on, or like in my life, I've decided I care much more about the mission and the passion behind what I do than I do about the money. If the money comes, I'll be very, very happy. to take Sophie off the front burner and give her a little bit of a break. But it's a thing that I care about less. In the end, I get to live a life I love. I wake up early in the morning. I have these morning rituals that I do. I support my family in the ways that I can. I support my wife in the ways that I can by helping her through the business things that I know. And then I spend most of my day either learning how to or directly helping people who struggle with addiction. And I love it. Like, it fills me. You know, I run my group every Tuesday at 1 p.m. I've run it for 4 years. I don't want anything else to happen at 1 p.m. on Tuesday. I love it. It's my favorite thing to do during those times. But it's not easy always. And it's not pretty always. And it's definitely challenging almost all the time. And I get to learn and expand and become a different, better, improved, evolved version of myself on a daily basis. And I wanted to share that with you because that's the part I'm still figuring out. The recovery, I got. I'm good. And what I want to show you is that there's a path for each of you. If the recovery part is something you still haven't figured out, it's okay. One foot in front of the other. Fall flat on your face and get back up. Get the coaches. Learn the things that you don't know how to do and do them better next time. This is an iterative world. You're going to have that sort of a life. And if you're figuring out the recovery thing, my news for you is once you figure that out, there are going to be other things in life that you haven't quite yet figured out. The same model will work. At Ignited, we have this motto of the three principles: honest exploration, radical acceptance, and individualized transformation. If you drop the first three, you get explore, accept, and transform. And the acronym for that is EAT. And you have to eat to grow. So you got to explore. What's going wrong? What can I fix? What's going right? What should I keep? Accept your reality as it is. You cannot escape it. Come to terms with it so you can transform and improve into what you want. Those three principles are three principles that I'm going to take into the rest of my life forever and ever and ever. They're working in my life right now when it comes to the entrepreneurship part. Every day we're figuring out new pieces. Every day we're helping our people in new, better, improved ways. But I have to learn. I have to explore what's not working, accept myself as I am, get better by transformation, and keep doing the same cycle over and over. So I've never done a podcast episode like this where I'm not teaching you something that I already know, but rather exploring the process I'm going through that I don't quite have figured out yet. But I hope it teaches you the following, and that is, whatever you're going through right now, there's a path in the end where you're going to get to a point where you've solved that problem. You just have to keep going. You just have to ask more questions, and you just have to accept where you are so you can transform into a bigger version of yourself. I didn't get those professorship jobs because I didn't follow that process. Didn't analyze what went right and what went wrong. Didn't accept it. I actually felt shitty about myself because I didn't get those jobs. So I left instead of transforming. Had I done that, I probably would be a professor somewhere right now, and I wouldn't even be talking to you right now. So maybe it worked out for the best. I hope this was helpful for you. If it is, do me a favor as usual. Screenshot this right now, what you're seeing or hearing right now, and write out a little note for us. Tag me, tag edignited.me. And let us know what worked for you. I want to understand the lessons. I want to understand how we can serve you better. Remember, you can fix this. You can get this. Love you all. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ignited Heroes Recovery Podcast. I really hope you found the information here useful and that we'll see you back here next week. And look, I want to make sure that this podcast is the most useful it can be for you. So please let me know by emailing info@ignited.com if there are any specific topics or questions you'd like to have addressed. As usual, if you like this episode, I would love for you to leave us a 5-star review and rating. Thanks, and see you next week.